Adele Waldman's debut novel, The Love Affairs of Nathaniel P., made a big impression when it was published last year. It was named one of the best books of the year by The New Yorker, Slate, NPR, and The New York Times. And it follows Nate Piven, a young rising star in New York's literary world who can't quite figure out his romantic life. It's this month's Leonard Lopecho Book Club selection, and I'm very pleased that Adele Waldman was able to join us now to talk about it. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. Thanks for having me.
And we invite our listeners, the ones who've been reading the book along with us, to join in the conversation. You give us a call, 212-433-9692, or write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. You can also find us on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. The book is written in a very frank way. We know what Nate is thinking and feeling. Can you talk about how you got inside the head of a character like Nate?
Sure. Yeah, the book is written in what I'd call a close third person. So it's we're getting Nate's inner thoughts, but we're not getting those of any of the other characters. And for me, the project of the book was to get into Nate's head effectively. And I am clearly a woman, and Nate is a man, so that on its own was a big leap.
And you decided not to get into the heads of any of the women that he dates.
I did. What I set out to do was to stay entirely in Nate's head. In some ways, the hardest part for me was not getting into the heads of the women, but to not take the advantage of what an omniscient narrator can do, to not judge Nate's thoughts or actions. I'm a pretty moralistic and judgmental person, I have to admit, and there were times I wanted to jump in and say, we all know Nate's being a jerk right now, and he's doing this, but he should be doing that. But I had to refrain because I wanted to stick to his thoughts without judgment.
And you let the reader think, boy, he's being a jerk right now.
Exactly.
But did you do any research? Did you talk to some men about their thoughts about women and relationships? Or is this totally based mm-hmm. on the research that any woman might have?
Right, right. It's funny. I mean, I have brothers, and I have dated men. I'm married to a man. And I've always had male friends. But honestly, the kinds of questions I wanted to explore, I didn't think were ones that I could interview men and get straight answers for. Questions like, why did you start dating this woman? Things seemed promising. And then you lost interest for no apparent reason. I think if I asked men, the answer would be, I don't know. I wish I knew. So I felt like I wanted to explore questions that were harder to get at. And the way I tried to go about that was to take the external behaviors that I had in mind. I knew the arc of the story and how Nate would behave externally in his relationship, and then spend a lot of time trying to come up with the thinking that would underlie those behaviors and to come up with a rationale that felt plausible and true for why, say, he might lose interest. And then I thought, you know, I would just see if it rang true to men and hope that it did, but it was really a leap.
Well, would you say that he's typical? If a woman has dated a Brooklyn writer type, would she recognize this kind of person? Or does it even have to be a Brooklyn writer?
Right. In some ways, I hope that there are certain aspects of Nate that are typical of not just Brooklyn writers, and that the kinds of issues I was really interested in weren't specific to Brooklyn writers. They're about relationships and dating and sort of contemporary life in a broader sense, and I hope would be relevant to people who are dating in Ohio and who have zero interest in writing a novel at any point. That said, in other ways, I hope as a person, as a woman, that Nate isn't so typical. I think Nate is flawed. There are aspects of Nate that I like. I can't say I have no affection for him, but there are ways he behaves, particularly with women, but I think also in other aspects of his life, that as a person, I hope he's not entirely typical. I'm sometimes afraid he's a little more common than I would like.
But you're also saying that on some level you would like us, the readers, to sympathize with him, or at least to understand that what he's doing is human.
Right. I mean, I guess what I really didn't want was to vilify Nate. I think that would have been easy to do, to just make him a bad guy. I wanted his thoughts to ring true to both men and to women readers. And to do that, I felt that I had to be fair to him. And just the way that any person we know, we are sympathetic to them probably in certain ways, even if we don't approve of all their behaviors. I wanted Nate to elicit that kind of complicated reaction.
And you did that to some degree through the use of humor in this book, although some of it takes a little paying. You have to pay close attention to see it. Can you talk about how you approach humor in your writing?
Sure. It's funny that I, for me, I'm so glad you said that. The humor is such a part of this book that I felt that what I wanted to write about was almost so dour and psychological to sort of to explore this guy's thinking about and treatment of women. And it, my interests were pretty moral and psychological and kind of rigorous. I wanted to, in some ways, update a 19th century novel with its focus on character and psychological analysis, and sort of apply that kind of Jane Austen-like scrutiny to a Philip Roth-type character. And that was pretty ambitious, and it was also though pretty serious. And I found in writing the book, it took me 5 years to write the book. And to make it more fun for myself, I kind of had to inject some humor and make myself laugh. One of the things I learned while writing this novel is that it kind of takes a lot to keep a novel going, to make it work on the page, that it's not enough to just have one or two ideas. I think that you want to have things going on every page and different things. So for me, giving Nate a sense of humor that I enjoyed made him more palatable to me, and I hope also makes the book more palatable to the reader.
He's part of a very specific social scene that's filled with young New York writers and intellectuals and those striving to be. Is this a world that you're familiar with, being a writer from Brooklyn?
Yes, I'm very familiar with it. And in a certain way, the reason I set this book in literary Brooklyn, I would say, was to make it easier for myself, because it was such a big leap to write from the male perspective. And when I say that, I mean, I think there are many books that men write from the perspective of women or women write from the perspective of men, and we don't pay that much attention to it. The reason here I think it was different is because this is a book that is explicitly focused on sex and dating and relationships. And, you know, there's no B-plot. There's no terrorism or car chases. It's all relationships. So to write about that from a male perspective seemed challenging. So I thought I'd give myself a pass by drawing from other aspects of my own experience, such as being a writer in Brooklyn.
Well, can you distinguish between Brooklyn writers as to which area that they choose to live in? Are the ones in Park Slope different from the ones in Fort Greene or Williamsburg or Bushwick?
Well,
now Bed-Stuy.
Right. I mean, I would say the biggest differences at this point are economic and where you can afford to live. So probably a writer like Nate, a struggling freelance writer, is probably more likely to live in Bushwick or Bed-Stuy, whereas a generation ago, to live in Fort Greene, where I live, might have been more manageable for freelancers.
You began as a journalist?
I did. I spent my 20s working as a newspaper reporter.
And then decided to write a novel. Now, why did it take 5 years? Did it go through a lot of revisions?
It absolutely did. So I had always hoped to write a novel, and I became a journalist thinking it would be a good day job as an aspiring novelist, because I'd found in my 20s when I tried to write fiction, it didn't go very well. It wasn't producing anything very good. So journalism was great for me. I learned so much about the world and people. But I had a lot to learn about writing fiction. So I felt one of the reasons it took me 5 years to write this book, and I should say it's a fairly short book. It's only 250 pages, so my pace is rather embarrassingly slow, 50 pages a year, was I had to learn how to write fiction. I didn't do an MFA, and I think I had to sort of spend the time that many writers might spend in an MFA program thinking about how to craft a scene, little things like how to get a character from one side of the room to the other. Do you have to say he walked from the couch to the window, or will the reader just understand if he's looking outside that he's now at the window? Silly little things, but they took a long time. But there was also a long, extensive process of revision for me. And one of the most interesting parts was I went through the book from the perspective of each of the different characters. And even though we're not in those characters' heads, I hope they became more well-developed characters, all of Nate's ex-girlfriends and current girlfriends, by considering the book from their point of view.
Well, they tell him what they think.
Right.
But did living in the mind of a man change the way you see the world?
It
changed the way you see other people?
I think it did in certain ways. There were moments when writing the book where I would be disturbed by something I'd written, some Nate's thoughts about women, women's bodies, women's intellects. And I would come out of my little office and I'd be mad at my husband just for being a man. And he'd think this was a little bit unfair, that for me to be mad at him for something I made my imaginary character do in my imaginary world. And I think we both had a point there. But I felt there are things about Nate that I almost wish I could unlearn as a person, not as a writer, that not because I think he's so bad and not because I think all men are like Nate, but there's a way in which he thinks about women in terms of their bodies, that I, as a woman, I like to put that out of my head when I'm living my life. I don't like to be in Nate's head when I'm not on my computer.
Or feeling judged by someone like Nate.
Right, right. And I think he's also very unapologetic in his judgments about not just women, about other things as well. And that was very fun to write, to be in the head of a character who's very smart but also pretty judgmental, whereas I feel like I'm probably, as a person, a little bit softer in my judgments, more empathetic.
Well, do you think that there are certain types like Nate who can be decent writers and still be that judgmental? Because a novel, at least in mm-hmm. theory, is a rather generous form.
Right, right. Gosh, I'm not sure. One of the reasons I made Nate in the book a novelist was kind of practical. I wanted him, in the book, he is a character who has not yet published a book, but he has a contract to publish one. And one of the reasons I did that was because I wanted to establish to readers, especially readers who weren't necessarily living in Brooklyn and up on the writer scene, that he's finally achieving a little bit of professional success. So I made him a writer on the cusp of publishing his first book. But whether or not his book is good or what he'll do in the future, I almost feel, if this might sound crazy, I'm a little too close to him to say. I wrote the book in part to criticize him, to scrutinize his thinking, and yet spending so much time in his head, he feels like my brother.
My guest is Adele Waldman, who worked as a reporter at the New Haven Register, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and has written articles for the New York Times Book Review, Slate, the Wall Street Journal, among other national publications. Her first novel, The Love Affairs of Nathaniel P., became a national bestseller when it was released in hardcover, now available in paperback from Picador. And we invite your calls to our book club at 212-433-9692. You can also write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And we'll be back right after this. We're back with Adele Waldman, whose novel, The Love Affairs of Nathaniel P., is the subject of this month's Leonard Lopate Show Book Club. It was published last year, became an instant success and a national bestseller, now available in paperback from Picador. And we have been inviting our listeners to call in. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And Carlin from New York City left this question on our show page. As someone who dated a few Nates in my day, I felt moved and also validated by the scenes in which Nate doesn't do anything that can be called out by Hannah per se, and yet is still being hurtful and careless. My question for Adele: how do you think dating has been depicted in literature generally, and what challenges did you face in tackling the subject in your novel?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. For me, some of my favorite novels as an adult have been 19th century novels. Austen, George Eliot, Stendhal, Tolstoy. And I think in 19th century novels, dating, it wasn't called that then, courtship, was taken very seriously as a fit subject for novels. In fact, I think it was the subject for early novels from the 18th century on. But that changed in the 20th century, and for a lot of good reasons, in terms of the novels, I think, have expanded to do other things and do other things very well. But I had this desire to write what I'd consider a serious novel about dating, and to take the subject as seriously as I felt that 19th century authors took it, but to write about it in a very contemporary setting.
So what were the challenges of doing it in a different way?
Well, one of the challenges was getting past, I think, preconceptions about whether dating was a fit subject for a serious novel. I felt when I spent these many years working on it, when I told people what I was doing, I felt that they had assumptions that it was chick lit, which is a term that I think is problematic in a lot of ways. But I feel like getting past the idea that a novel could be about dating but could also be an ambitious and serious novel was both getting over that hang up in my own head and then convincing other people to read it with an open mind was quite a challenge. But that was part of why I wanted to do it, why I wanted to I think I used this phrase before, but to apply Jane Austen-type scrutiny to a Philip Roth character, because I felt like that was missing from contemporary fiction.
And you must have been pleased when the reviewers took you seriously and didn't say this is a good example of chick lit.
Absolutely. I was very pleased. And I was very pleased, too, from having early male readers say things that they recognize themselves in the character. And there were a lot of phrases like wincing in recognition or cringing in recognition, recoiling in recognition. And I don't wish pain or cringing on anyone, but as an author, I was validated, I must admit.
Well, luckily, I'm perfect, so I didn't see myself at all in Nate.
Glad to hear.
Nate can't even figure out why he feels the way he does, why his feelings toward Hannah, whom he dates for about 5 months, change. Is the reader supposed to understand something that he doesn't?
Yeah, I think so. And that I don't know, or I have my ideas as to what it is that makes Nate's feelings for Hannah change, but they're not in the book in the way that the book is limited to Nate's thoughts. And I think that readers are free to draw their own conclusions. I do have a sense. I think what happens is he starts to feel in very, very small ways just a little bit bored as their relationship moves from the exciting dating phase to the more mundane serious relationship phase. And I think Nate doesn't really want a partner and a sort of a long-term partnership with someone he feels compatible with. That seems a little boring and grown up to him.
Even though they do seem perfect for each other. But it's been my sense in breakups that it's usually both sides that are partially to blame.
Right, right. And I think one of the challenges in the way I conceived this book was that when I first thought about writing it, I thought that I would make the central relationship be more one in which both characters were essentially at fault. But then I felt that as a reader, I wanted readers to have something to care about when they read this book. And if this was a book where Nate's kind of a jerk and the woman he's dating is kind of a jerk and who cares what happens, I thought there wasn't enough there. So I tried to make a relationship that seemed to have some promise, but I didn't want Hannah, his girlfriend, to be perfect. And I think that readers probably rightly feel that her response to Nate's cooling feelings is irritating to readers and irritating to Nate. One sees why Nate becomes annoyed as she becomes sort of insecure and a little clingy, and she's not the kind of the person that he fell for originally. That's something I, as a woman, can sadly relate to. And I personally forgive Hannah for that, but I do think she's not perfect. She doesn't behave the way that we as women wish we had always behaved in relationships.
Well, you say that at times. You seem to be blaming your husband for things that he was not responsible for. But have people wondered if you wrote this to get revenge on some of the people you knew before you met this perfect man you married?
I imagine they wonder it, that... one of the things that I want to struggle, that I struggled against in writing it, was to make it not read like an ex-girlfriend's revenge fantasy. And that meant being fair to Nate and making Nate be a character that, again, that men would feel was fair, that they would recognize, if not themselves, but other men they knew. So to avoid that tendency to demonize in order to make Nate seem worse. I have to say, I think I've been fairly lucky with my ex-boyfriends. I'm actually friends with most of them.
Hannah makes an effort to not make demands, not act like a typical girlfriend who needs to be invited everywhere that he goes, who gets jealous, who needs to be reassured about the relationship all the time. Do you think there's some pressure for women to act that way when they're dating so that they don't seem like they're pressuring the man into something that would feel like a serious relationship?
I think there definitely is societal pressure at this point in time for women to act that way. But I also think that some of what Hannah's responding to is, if Nate were a different guy, the way she'd be acting is perfectly fine, that it is actually valuable to not be jealous all the time, to not fly off the handle. That I personally, like in my marriage, that we're probably both a little more like Hannah. I think the problem is Hannah's trying to be kind of cool and easygoing with a guy who is in fact pulling away. So she's in trying not to be too quick and to judge him or too needy, she's missing some of the very clear signals he is sending. So I think it's context.
Nate has a female friend, Orit, who chides him for not taking dating more seriously. What does she tell him?
Yeah, she makes the case that this is one of the most fraught interactions that most of us are involved with in for much of our lives, for the part of our lives before we're parents, if we become parents, and that it's often treated as a subject or fit for romantic comedies and sort of it's something that especially intellectual men might disparage as girl stuff. And Orit wants to challenge that. Nate does not necessarily agree with Orit, and Nate's response to Orit kind of giving him a hard time about his dating behavior is often to feel defensive and to sort of caricature her as a woman who's watched too much Sex in the City.
Well, you write this line about Nate. Contrary to what these women seem to think, he wasn't indifferent to their unhappiness, and yet he seemed, in spite of himself, to provoke it. He doesn't mean to hurt anyone, but he does it anyway.
Well, I think that's true not just for Nate, but for most of us, male or female, that I think most of us, most of the time, our lives are defined not by big, clear-cut ethical decisions, but by complicated relationships, and we're often as affected by the hurt we cause other people as the hurt that is inflicted on us, and it's confusing. Most of us want to be good people.
Well, you mentioned Eliot. Characters in Middlemarch, also most of Jane Austen's novels, often think about relationships in terms of how they improve their own reputation and market value. But is it worse if we're doing it in 21st century Brooklyn?
Well, I think that it's complicated. For me, one of the aspects of Nate that was most troubling but most important to me was the way that Nate is aware of not only how attractive the women he dates are, but how attractive his friends might think they are, how attractive they're generally perceived to be, because he's sensitive enough to know that his social cachet will go up if he is dating a very attractive woman. And I think that's a real factor in the lives of both men and women, and it's a way that female beauty is objectified, and I wanted to explore that. I don't like it, but I don't think Nate is the worst offender or the best.
Although he's always looking for imperfections.
That's true. I think as his relationship with Hannah deteriorates, he doesn't know why it's happening, so he focuses on little flaws of
you
hers.
You just released a Kindle single follow-up to this novel, New Year's. Nathaniel P. is seen through the eyes of his friend Orit. Why did you decide to write more about Nate from another character's point
of
view?
I think
we have very little time.
I think I'm supposed to say it's not just a Kindle single. It's available as an e-short through other channels. I think I'm supposed to. That was an idea that someone at Picador had, that I had mentioned casually that I had a lot of material about the characters that I didn't get to use in the novel, having spent 5 years on it. And someone suggested I might want to write a story about another character. At first, I wasn't interested, and then it intrigued me, so I gave it a try, and it was fun to write. So I wrote from Nate's friend Orit's perspective.
Well, you could do a whole other book in which we have Nate is seen through other women, through women's eyes.
It was liberating to write from the perspective of a woman, I must say.
Adele Waldman's The Love Affairs of Nathaniel P. is now available in Picador in a paperback from Picador. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you so much, Leonard. It was great to be here.